How many of y'all asked for wisdom over the last week? Yeah? Amen? Good. Well, we're going to talk about wisdom again this morning. How many of you think you would really like to be a king or a queen? You think that would be something you would be excited about? Obviously, it would be amazing to never have to get up to get a drink, right? You could just be like, hey, bring me something to drink. But what about the fact that you have people around all the time? It's nice to ask for a drink every once in a while, but what about the fact that Jeeves is just standing in the corner all the time staring at you? And you're like, no, thanks, I can help myself get dressed. Being a princess is probably even worse because there's no doubt you'll probably get married off to some old person that you don't never know, some dude you never met before. Everyone asking you questions all day has to be exhausting. Should we invade France? How much should the tax be on tea? Is it actually feasible to just let them eat cake? There's the constant threat of war, political assassinations. Having immense power to me seems like it means a tremendous amount of stress, anxiety, and paranoia. A heavy gold crown is gaudy, and I'm sure it hurts your neck. Last week, we started talking about this new king in the United Kingdom of Israel, Solomon, the son of David, and he was the third and final king in this kingdom before it broke into Judah and Israel. But before David handed over the throne to Solomon, he told his son to be strong and to keep God's commandments and to follow the Lord. And David told his son, if you do this, and when I have done this, I have prospered. And Solomon follows his dad's advice beautifully at the beginning of his reign. A couple of weeks, we'll talk about how things started to go off the rails. But here at the beginning, things are going great. But an important part of this is Solomon felt the pressure. He felt the responsibility of being a king. And it was a sobering thing for him. He took it very seriously. And he saw his dad go through big hardships and stress and failures during his reign. And Solomon knew being a king wasn't just a walk in the palace. From the start, he knew he desperately needed God. 1 Kings 3, verse 3 talks about this as Solomon starts off the beginning of his reign. It says, Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father. Only he sacrificed and made offerings at the high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give to you. And Solomon said, you have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in the palace or in the place of David my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go or to come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this your great people? So at this point in the history of Israel and Jerusalem there wasn't a temple. God wouldn't allow David to build a permanent place, a house for the Lord, because he was a man of war with blood on his hands. But David did store up materials so that his son one day could build it. And we see in these verses that that Solomon would go and worship at Gibeon. And that was where the temporary tent-like structure was that they worshiped, called the tabernacle. The altar was in the tabernacle, and so Solomon traveled 7 miles to Gibeon to sacrifice 1,000 sacrifices to the Lord. That's a lot. That would be like millions of dollars here at the beginning of his reign. He wanted to start off on the right foot, depending on God. And he expresses how much he needs God at the start of his reign as king. The book of 2 Chronicles also talks about this big event in the life of Solomon. And it says that he took all the high-ranking officials with him to sacrifice to God. The way I just said that was weird. He wasn't sacrificing the officials. They were there along with him. He wanted the whole country to know who was really in charge. 1 Kings 3:7. It says, "And now, O Lord, you have made your servant king in place of David my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go out or to come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude." We just read these verses, but I wanted to read them again. It says, "Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil, for who is able to govern this, your great people?" Solomon's saying, "God, I am not anything special. If this country is going to have the kind of king that it needs, it will be because of you, not because of me. I don't have the experience or the skills to make this country great. I am just a child. I do not know whether I'm going out or I'm coming in. The task is too big. I cannot do this. God, I need you to give me the strength and the wisdom to know right from wrong." Solomon says, "I need wisdom." Now, wisdom and intelligence are not the same thing. Intelligence is knowing about facts and solving problems and understanding how things work. Wisdom is using knowledge with good judgment. Intelligence can tell you how to do something, but wisdom helps you decide if you should do it. And you can be smart without being wise, and you can be wise without being especially smart. We've probably all known somebody that wasn't particularly educated or smart by society's definition, but they were wise, and they understood right from wrong, and when to move and when to stop. Those are the people that you want in your corner during a crisis. Those are the people that you want to lead and you love to follow. We want wise leaders. And Solomon knew the job was too big for him. He couldn't do it on his own. And he made it clear that he desperately needed God. Solomon's wisdom began with fear of the Lord, recognizing that God was the one who needed to be in charge. And God answered that prayer. He asked for wisdom, and God gave it to him. And when we desire God's things, he will give us the desires of our heart. And we ask for things in his will, God is happy to give us those things. It goes on in 1 Kings 3, verse 10. It says, "It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked for this. And God said, because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall rise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no king shall compare to you all your days. And if you shall walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And then he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, offering up burnt offerings and peace offerings, and made a feast for all of his servants. So no matter how many sacrifices Solomon made, God wasn't going to answer a selfish prayer for things like riches or long life or the defeat of his enemies, but God was happy to give Solomon wisdom. In fact, God gave him a promise that no one would ever be as wise as him. Now, even with all this wisdom, Solomon still makes some pretty big mistakes, but he fell into those things and those temptations with a full head of steam, knowing it was right, but he wanted it anyway. And sometimes we sit back and we just say, "God, I wish I just knew exactly what the right decision was." Well, take comfort in knowing that even then you would sometimes fail. Not only does God grant this request from Solomon for wisdom, but because Solomon was selfless and humble and understood who the God was and who the king was, God also gave Solomon riches and honor and power so that there would be no other king like him all of his days. And sometimes we have big plans to do things, and we think that once we accomplish those things, then we'll give God more time and more attention. Once I get this promotion, or once I start my business, once I get through school. But at this time, Solomon understood who I am being is more important than what I am doing. First things come first. And Solomon made this huge sacrifice to make it clear to his own heart and all the people that he desperately needed God. He admitted that he didn't know what he was doing and that he needed wisdom. And because of this, God also promises that Solomon, if he will follow him and keep his commandments, that God will lengthen his reign. In 2 Chronicles 1, as a result of all of these promises, it says that silver and gold were as plentiful as stone in Israel during this time. And everybody benefited from the fact that Solomon knew that he couldn't do it on his own and he needed to rely on God. And because of Solomon's humility and understanding of where this blessing and all of his blessings had come from, God continued to bless him and bless him during this time in his life. And while Solomon sought first the kingdom of God, God added and added to him. Solomon knew this job was too big for him, and he couldn't do it on his own, and he made it clear that he desperately needed God. And he wanted wisdom for more than just for himself. He asked selflessly for wisdom for the sake of God's people. And God wants to give you wisdom too. James 1:5, we read this last week. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Are you doing things on your own? Making mistake after mistake, and life feels like a wreck? Well, here's your promise from the creator of the universe. If you need wisdom, ask for it. God is handing it out. If you need wisdom as a husband, as a father, as a wife, or a mother, a grandmother, a grandfather, a friend, an employee, if you need wisdom, God is handing it out. How many of you have that person in the neighborhood during Halloween where they hand out like full-size candy bars and you're like, man, that's the house you want to go to? Well, God is even more generous than that. He wants to scoop out extra servings of wisdom to you so that you would know right from wrong and to discern situations. And this is why you need to start everything like Solomon. Letting God know and letting your own heart know that I am just a child that doesn't know my left from my right. God, I need wisdom to know right and wrong. My experience, my age, my intelligence, my skills all amount to nothing. I need wisdom from God desperately. Starting your day with prayer. God, I love you. I need you. Please give me wisdom today. And when I'm tempted to make a dumb decision, stop me in my tracks. Help me to see what is right and wrong. And this asking for wisdom was not a one-time thing in Solomon's life. In the chapters of Proverbs that he wrote, Solomon keeps telling us where his wisdom comes from and how to get it. We looked at these again last week. Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. We live in a society right now because of this thing called social media where everybody thinks everybody ought to know all your opinions. I'm not trying to be mean, but 90% of your opinions are stupid. But seriously, how many times are we actually, when we're expressing what we think is going on in the world, how many times are we running it through the filter of, is this wise? Is this situation that I'm stepping into, do I have wisdom? Do I realize that I'm just a child that doesn't know my left from my right, my up from my down? This asking for wisdom is something Solomon did over and over again. Proverbs 9:10, he says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. Solomon was afraid to do things without God. He was afraid to take a step without God's wisdom. He was afraid to talk to somebody without God's wisdom behind it, to make a decision, to take an opportunity. Right after God grants Solomon wisdom, the Bible shows off this wisdom and how it helps Solomon in his rule. Because at that time, a king was not just a king, he was also a judge. And 1 Kings 3:16 tells us of Solomon's famous judgment where two women claimed to be the mother of the same baby. And Solomon proposed cutting the baby in half to reveal the true mother, who immediately begged to give the baby to the other woman, the real mother did, showing her genuine love and helping Solomon determine the real parent. Now, I'm fairly sure that he was bluffing. Wisdom wouldn't push you to karate chop babies in half. Although this would make, you know, like Maury and Jerry Springer a little bit more, who is the father? But the tactic worked, and it revealed the rightful mother. And Solomon wrote thousands and thousands of wise sayings in books like Proverbs and Solomon and Ecclesiastes. A well-known queen from Africa, maybe Ethiopia, they think, the queen of Sheba, traveled all the way to Jerusalem just to see Solomon's wisdom firsthand. And she left impressed and inspired by God and the God behind Solomon. Solomon knew where his wisdom came from. And he knew if he was to make the right decision, he would have to lean on God. He knew from experience, because at some point in his life, he started chasing temporary things and experiences and pleasure rather than finding satisfaction in God. And he found out that it was all empty. And if Solomon was here today, he would encourage us to follow his example at the beginning of his reign. Know who you are. And know how desperately you need God, and that you cannot live life without constantly leaning on Him and expect anything to go right long term. You need wisdom, and God is the source of it all. God, I'm a child. I don't know my up from my down, whether I'm coming or going. God, I need wisdom to know right from wrong. I may have a gut feeling. I may have experience in something. I may have intelligence, but if I don't have you, I will make the wrong choice. One of my favorite verses about wisdom is this. It's once again, it's Solomon in Proverbs 4:7. It says, the beginning of wisdom is this. You ready? What is it? Get wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is get wisdom. And wherever you, whatever you get insight. He says, you want wisdom? Go get it. From where? I already told y'all where. You just have to go there. Go to the source. The God of all wisdom has more than enough. And he hands it out generously. Amen. This verse reminds me of those silly milk commercials where they used to do where they paint everyone's upper lip with milk. And they say what? Got milk, right? Here's a picture. Maybe. Almost. It's down here. There it is. I always wondered who was paying for these. Is this cows paying for these ads? Like, got milk? Yeah, we all have milk. We're familiar with milk. That's retired baseball player Mark McGwire. He had many record-breaking home run seasons, but he was powered by more than milk. He famously caught using steroids. And if he would have asked for wisdom rather than more milk, he would have done his things differently. That's a question for you today. Got wisdom? If you don't, if life's going bad, you're making wrong choices, why don't you have wisdom? It's because you're not asking for it. You're not going to the source. It's not because God doesn't want to give it to you. It's because you aren't asking for it. You aren't relying on God. You aren't fearing God. You think you're okay without God's wisdom, so you don't go there. You don't think you need it. You think you're okay on your own. Well, haven't you done it your way long enough? Haven't you made enough stupid decisions on your own? Haven't you hurt enough people thinking that you knew right from wrong and you knew the right way to do it? Instead, say, God, I am just a child. I don't know what I'm doing. Please generously pour out your wisdom in my life. If you want wisdom, ask for it. God promises to give it to you. And Solomon stood at the beginning of his reign with this massive responsibility on his shoulders and said, in essence, Lord, I can't do it without you. And that honestly is what opened the door for God to pour out wisdom in his life. Wisdom doesn't begin with having all the answers. It begins with admitting that you don't have the answers. But wisdom grows when we come to God with an open heart and a teachable spirit and a willingness to let him lead us. And the same God that invited Solomon to ask invites you today to ask as well. So that's what I want to leave you with today. Got wisdom? No? Well, get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. God is waiting for you to ask. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes as we head into a time of reflection and meditation that we call the invitation, where we deal with what God has dealt with us about. Are you going to the source of wisdom? Do you think you are okay on your own? Have you made mistake after mistake because you're not going to the God of wisdom? God, I'm just a child. I'm your child. And I can't do it without you. I need you to show me right from wrong. I need you to tell me when to step and when to stop. I need you to open doors and shut doors. I need you to lead and guide me like a lamp before my feet, a light before my path. As you continue to deal with whatever God's spoke to your heart about, maybe there's somebody in the room that hasn't yet put their faith and trust in Jesus as their Savior. That's the first wise thing that you can do, is stop trying to bear your burdens alone. Stop trusting in your good works. And put your faith and trust in Jesus as the only means of your salvation. Because sin separates us from God. God is a holy God. And when we break his laws and his commandments and the things that he's set up around us to stop us from hurting ourselves and hurting other people, when we go through those barriers, we separate ourselves from God. But God didn't leave it that way. God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, walked this earth. He lived a perfect and a holy life. He did miracles and he taught. And then he walked up the hill of Calvary and he died on a cross in our place. The only innocent person to have ever lived died for all of us guilty people. That's the gospel. But Jesus didn't stay dead. He rose again on the third day, bringing our salvation with him. And because of Jesus, you now have a bridge to get to God. Jesus paid it all. You simply have to accept that gift and put your faith and trust in Jesus and to become a follower of Jesus, an apprentice, a disciple of Jesus. And you can do that today once and for all. It's not a magic prayer. It's a decision from your heart to put down all that you're trusting in and put all your faith and hope in Jesus. You could call out today, right now. The words aren't important. You can change it and to apply better to you, but you can call out with something like this. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I know because of my sin that I deserve hell. God, forgive me. I'm turning from my sin, and I'm turning to you. I put my faith in what you did on the cross to save me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. If that's you today and you made that choice, write that on your connection card before you hand it into one of those offering boxes. I chose Jesus. I'd love to follow up with what this means and how this starts off, because this isn't the end of something. It's the beginning of an amazing adventure with you and God. Let's stand to our feet. Altar's open. If you need prayer to come down and have your church family pray over you about anything at all, maybe you need wisdom, maybe you've got a health situation, whatever it may be, you come down today as we sing.